Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Mainstream media is so screwed up on their gun knowledge. It's so bad. I can't remember what article.
I heard that if you remove the firing pin, it turns it into an automatic weapon.
That's a good one, Daryl. I was reading some article today. It was talking about bump stocks and talking about how the AR-15, you know, has a 50-round standard magazine. I'm like,
I heard there were some people.
It's a 30-round magazine, guys. I mean, you can get a 50 if you want, but that's not what your typical AR comes with.
Did you go ahead, Heather?
I was going to say, I heard that there were a few people on the internet that thought MS-13 was a gun.
Jeez.
Oh yeah, there was some guy that posted something about MS-13.
Ban MS-13.
Stephen King. Stephen King responded with, "Maybe you want to say that to the parents down in Florida."
Jeez.
For those that don't know, MS-13 is a gang, not
right.
a gun.
So, you know, in a bad
anytime
gang,
you throw a couple of letters
right.
and a couple of numbers together, it's got to be a gun.
So if it's an AR-15 is a gun, then an MS-13 has to be a gun.
But not as big, right? Because it's 13 instead of 15.
Yeah.
It's insanity. And
or bigger, because aren't some of the things where the gauge, the larger or the smaller the number, the bigger the thing?
Shotguns. Yeah. So
gauge. And the
12 gauge is bigger than a 20 gauge. The thought occurred to me today as I was going through getting some show prep together. Donald Trump has proposed more gun control measures in the last week than Barack Obama passed in 8 years. And I think that's something conservatives need to wrap their heads around, that pick your tyrant. You know, if you want somebody,
right? But he's their tyrant.
Yeah, but here's what I'm trying to say.
I'm sorry,
red team, but you're being worse than blue team. And this is atrocious.
On the whole red blue thing, I'm still used to when I was growing up. Blue was Republicans and red were Democrats, and then that flipped in the year 2000.
I do have like some empathy for the Trumpsters, you know, being duped, being conned
right.
into thinking someone is something they're not, and then you realize, you know, it's not easy to swallow your pride and admit you've been conned. But I think that with this most recent push on the Second Amendment, I think a lot more people are coming to terms that, okay, now he's not just playing a chess game, you know what I mean,
right.
trying to make moves in Washington and compromise a little here and a little there. Now he's actually going after the Second Amendment.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this was probably, I could see Trump and his advisors sitting around, give me something I can do that will piss off the least number of people. And somebody says, you know, bump stocks, they're not a big deal anyway. Anybody who's a serious shooter doesn't use a bump stock. The people that buy them are buying them more or less for the novelty of it. So maybe the gun side won't get too angry if we ban bump stocks. It's not like we're banning guns or we're not banning ammo or anything like that. And I can hear this.
But if he bans it for 18 to 21 year olds.
Well, and there's more to it than that too, yeah.
Depending on how they define bump stock, they could wind up making rubber bands illegal.
Yeah, and I can show you some great videos on YouTube, and I have yet to try it, but I'm going to. Basically, what you do is you extend your arm with your trigger finger out. You hold it rigidly at a certain position. You hold the AR gently to your shoulder. And then as it fires, as you pull back and squeeze, you concentrate on keeping your finger steady. And as the AR bounces into your shoulder, it will basically do a bump stock. And you'll be firing off 400 or 500 rounds a minute with zero accuracy. That's the whole thing about these things. They're not an accurate. It's not an accurate way to fire. It doesn't matter if you're in a elevated position over 30,000 people, yeah, you're probably going to hit somebody.
Armalite being a brand name?
Yeah, it used to be a firearms manufacturer, and I think Eugene, somebody in Discord, said that Eugene Stoner, the designer, the father of the AR platform, the M16, the M4, so on and so on, sold the patents to Armalite, who I believe, I'm not sure if they went out of business, but They ended
Colt
up
owns them now, from what I was reading.
Yeah, Colt might have bought the Armalite company, but then the patents were generally available. So there's all sorts of manufacturers out there that make, if you will, the standard AR platform.
Right. So AR is no longer a brand name. It is a certain style.
It is. It's one of those things that's just been out there for so long. Again, we're talking about going back to the 50s. We're talking almost 70 years. That's how long this thing. And people are like, well, you know, now that they're on the street, it's like, really, guys? We're talking 60, 70 years that this has been out there. The other thing that is interesting, that the U.S. Army actually defines the term assault rifle, which I did not know that they had ever done. And to them, an assault rifle is a selective fire rifle. And what selective fire means is
that means it's got a flash guard.
It means it is capable of semi-automatic fire or fully automatic fire. To pretend that there is an actual limit where how high before governments that are angry with what you're doing will reach to take you out. That is
the distance. That distance number written down somewhere in some international treaty.
Because we never break treaties, do we, Heather?
No, never.
Never.
Yeah, and again, the number, I'm thinking the number is closer to like 26 miles, not 10 kilometers.
You're probably right.
Because going out into the ocean, it's like 13 miles.
I see. What do you think about the whole Elon Musk thing, launching that rocket, though, privately? Like, do you think he still like kind of was like hand in hand with government, though, to do it?
Obviously,
he had to be to get the
clearance. Thank
you
for bringing that up, because I want to thank all the taxpayers that are listening right now for paying for Elon Musk's rocket. I mean, was that not one of the great moments? Yeah, well, the guy's got $4.5 billion. That's an old number. That's 3 or 4 years old. $4.5 billion in government handouts that have primarily gone to his space system. So every one of you who's paid taxes in the last couple of years, pat yourself on the back for that great rocket launch you paid for.
Wow.
Pretty cool, huh?
Right? Just get our faces on a sticker and put on the side of it. Tesla. No word endorsers, sponsors.
There was a Tesla that went into space.
You paid for that, too.
Rocket Man.
You paid for that, too.
Not my Tesla. Hashtag not my Tesla.
I'd wear that.
About Elon Musk, I have relatives in Australia. They think he's just the best thing since cherry pie, you know, with that battery that he made in South Australia.
Yep.
When the power plants go down. Yeah, it's pretty successful. So
yeah,
the guy's definitely a genius.
I don't fault him for his technology. I have an issue with crony capitalism, whether it's an Elon Musk and great battery technology and great cars or great space program. The same way I have a problem with mobile oil getting U.S. tax dollars to go drill for oil.
Or BP getting money. Basically bailed out when they had one of their oil rigs explode down in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yep, same thing. Go ahead.
About the bump stock, you know, Trump said it means nothing about the bump stock. He asked his attorney general to look into it.
Right.
All legislation comes through Congress.
Agreed.
It's a no-starter. It's just something for him to talk about that makes people talk about it, but I mean, unless it comes to the Congress, the bill doesn't exist.
Right, but here's that slippery slope. Here's Congress, 535 individuals that most of them are getting beat up by their constituents about what happened in Florida and all, you know, these mass shootings that are going on, and people are demanding do something, and I suspect Republicans are honestly getting a little scared and freaked out.
I actually think that leaving bump stocks in the mix will actually save lives. Because if you put a bump stock on a gun and you use that to shoot fast, you will lose a lot of ammo and you will probably hit less people.
Yeah, much less accurate. I don't disagree.
You know, and you know, just like use your brain. Just like, please use your brains with these policies.
Maybe we should make a we should propose a bump stock requirement. Everything's got to have a put a bump stock on it, kind of like put a bird like put a bird on it.
Yeah, right, you can't shoot what? With. Well, I mean, the, you
that's
know,
a
the
Portlandia reference.
It gets to diminishing returns at a certain point where the crowd's thicker. Or whatever,
yeah, you know? No, but yeah. you're absolutely right. So I don't have a bump stock, but I've got, you know, like I think another 100 million people in this country have a Ruger 10/22.
I did some fact checking on the executive order thing to where I said, I don't think Congress has any authority to do anything with executive orders. I think it's the president can, you know, revoke an executive order or it can be invalidated by a court. There's actually an article from Quartz about the three ways that an executive order can either be modified, revoked, or superseded.
Thank you for continuing that sentence after three ways, because I thought that's where you were leaving it. Go ahead.
I don't want to know about Donald Trump's three ways. But number one, already mentioned, president can revoke, modify, or supersede any executive order, not just one that he has signed himself. Number two is Congress can revoke, modify, or supersede an executive order if the president was acting under authority granted to him by Congress. So if Congress passes some kind of legislation that says such and so can be done at the discretion of the president and the president does it in a way they don't like,
right,
then they can intervene. Otherwise, nope. The third way is, as already mentioned, the courts can declare an executive order to be illegal or unconstitutional.
I'm living in a very socialistic, my country is socialistic democratic country, but we're still very capitalist.
Okay.
And, you know, for example, from Bernie Sanders' speeches and such, that you should all live like we do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still feel like that? Do you even know anything about us?
Well, we're not Bernie Sanders. We're not Bernie Sanders supporters. So
right,
to ask us if we still feel like that when referencing Bernie Sanders, we can't accurately answer that question. I don't know a lot about Denmark other than where it's located. The people from Denmark are called Danish. Yes, it's north of Germany, and it is a Scandinavian country.
That is good. That's good.
The capital is Copenhagen.
That. No, it's not.
It's not. Well, what is the capital of Denmark?
No idea. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
It's Copenhagen, Daryl.
Ah, yes.
It's actually Copenhagen.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take your word for it. You are our resident expert on Denmark this evening.
The thing is that our countries cannot be any more dissimilar than any other country in the world. The thing is that most of the things that the European Union's actually incorporated into our systems,
mm-hmm,
they are actually American ideas.
I don't doubt that.
May Day, which everyone thinks is a Russian holiday,
mm-hmm,
where all the workers unite.
Yeah, I think the reason people think it's a Russian holiday is from the movie Airplane, where there's the one scene where the guy yells, May Day, May Day, and somebody says, May Day, that's the Russian New Year.
Yeah, I'm actually sure that is. But it's actually a unionist celebration of 1st of May from the Americas. And
right,
we actually incorporated that. Everything is controlled by unions in the EU. It's not controlled by the government. We cannot work more than 37 hours a week. It is controlled not by the government, but by the unions. But you killed the unions.
I didn't kill any unions.
No, you didn't. But
the
your
U.S.
government did.
Massachusetts
has quite a bit of them.
You were talking about Trump's immigration ban?
Briefly?
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to say, yeah. from being from a country that had open borders, that Americans, I am very happy that your president made that decision, because my country went bad without swearing there. It went downhill fast after they went open borders.
Which country is that?
France.
Which country?
France.
France.
Okay. I didn't realize that France had open borders. I thought they had somewhat strict immigration rules, although they do have the Schengen region as part of the EU, but there's still immigration controls in France.
But they opened up their borders to a lot of immigrants from the Middle East.
They welcome some refugees that never would have been created absent their military ours bombing the countries.
And what do you think they have a problem with Western civilization, if you will, with some of the American allies? Yeah. They have a problem with France.
I'm not going to be racist or anything or start religion bashing, but I really do think that these cultures cannot mix. I actually moved to the U.S. back in 2015, so I thought I'd bring that up now. Like, I don't live in France anymore, but
darn it.
Yeah, they started coming over then, but I do agree with you on that some of it might have been with the U.S., you know, going over there and, you know, the bombings and stuff like that. But some of it I do think is cultural, because back in France, if you were to go to Paris, which we lived kind of close to Paris, I'm not going to say why on air, but, you know, like where, but close. So if you'd go there, there'd be no-go zones where there would be a lot of, you know, Muslim people from Pakistan and Afghanistan and a lot of people like that. And, you know, I'd have no problem with that.
I've heard people mention these no-go zones. And then the guy that created the story about these no-go zones actually went to France and then wound up writing an article rescinding his statement about no-go zones.
Right, but I don't know what the state status of that is right now.
So the claim is that these no-go zones are places that the local police and government agents will not go into and advise people not go.
They do. You're allowed to go in them, but there are just certain areas that's where, like, those people settle.
Even though next door to my business here in Keene, New Hampshire is New Hampshire's only full-time mosque, that's my limited exposure to Islam, and other than friends I've had through the years and things like that, but have never really discussed it. I've never experienced those types of things in Muslims that I know, that I've known, you know, going back to my days in the military or things like that. I've never experienced anything like that, but I've also never been to an alleged no-go zone in France.
And you're also not a woman.
Yeah. Right, and I'm not a woman, so I would naturally be treated differently. I just don't know. I just have to. So at some point, I should visit.
So, Scarlett, what's the solution? It sounds like you're pointing out a lot of things that you see as problems, but do you have any proposed solutions?
Solutions. I don't live in France anymore. I moved to the U.S. back in 2015.
Yep, but you said that you supported Donald Trump's ban for people from certain Muslim countries. So is that a solution? Just, you live in one of these countries, so therefore you can't come here because some people from your country are bad?
I support a temporary ban. I don't think there's...
How temporary? 30 days?
Yeah.
3 days? 3 hours? 30 years? 30 years is still temporary.
But, I think the... Go ahead and answer. I'm not going to.
But I think, I think there should be one in place until we figure out a solution, because I don't think anyone really knows.
So they're not banning anything. If they're banning a device that can turn a semi-automatic weapon into a machine gun, they're not banning anything because nothing does that.
Have you not seen Harry Potter? There are magic wands that could turn regular AR-15s into machine guns, Daryl.
No, I have not seen Harry Potter. Do I look like I'm 12?
Heather, do you think he looks like he's 12?
Mm.
I'm going with a little older. All right.
Yeah.
So anyway, this story continues. While the president's comment on the issue is new, the Justice Department had announced in December, in the wake of the Las Vegas shooting, that it had begun the rulemaking process that could allow it to reinterpret the legality of the devices. That process is ongoing. The proposal submitted by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, which questioned the statute definition of a machine gun under federal gun laws, drew more than 35,000 comments from the public, far more than usual, which likely signals that pro or anti-gun control groups, or both, mobilized their membership and email lists to weigh in. Comments were due by January 25th. I'm trying to remember the last mass shooting that would have involved a fully automatic weapon, and I'm drawing a blank here.
Wasn't it the concert?
No, that was a bump stock.
Hold on.
A semi-automatic with a bump stock.
What did they use in Vietnam?
The M16 and the M14.
The World War II?
The M1 Garand and a bunch of bigger.
I'm just thinking, you know, the M60. Last mass shooting involving a machine gun was probably done by a government entity somewhere.
Well, then last week in Syria or
no, those were drones. Those were drones.
Well, we have boots on the ground, too.
Right, but you know, the people that were killed in Eastern Ghouta, they were killed by drones.
I'm Googling this because I'm curious, and there is zero correlation between the number of fully automatic weapons and mass shootings, because number one, they're just not used.
Right.
Number two, New Hampshire, which is one of the safest states in the United States, where this show is being broadcast from, has what? The highest number of automatic weapons per capita of any state in the United States. I'm very proud of that. There are more people per capita that actually own fully automatic weapons here. And that makes me feel a little bit safer.
You know, they say in New Hampshire, there's less murders, more missing people.
Don't some of the military guys get handguns issued to them?
Sure.
Don't some military guys also carry knives?
Knives,
them?
You get a bayonet, and even some Marines, they get to carry swords.
Ooh. What's that cord stuff that a lot of people wind up? The survivalists get their shoestrings made out of it.
550 paracord?
Yeah, that stuff. Military has that?
Sure.
You could strangle a man with paracord?
Calling that a poor man's garrote? Sure.
I don't know what a poor man's groot is, but you could strangle a man with paracord?
I suppose so.
All right, so that means that I can no longer buy paracord. I can't have a knife because, you know, Swiss Army knives. Well, the Swiss Army have those.
Trump is saying, yes, you can, but not until you're 21 years old.
Ah, okay.
Yes. Yeah,
so I'm allowed to keep my Swiss Army knife.
More to the point, you're allowed to join the military and die in a war, but you're not old enough to responsibly purchase a gun just like the one, not even just like, that looks similar to the one you have in the military. You can't buy that at home, even though it's semi-automatic and not fully automatic.
Right now, there's federal prohibitions on possession of cannabis. You want to repeal that? Right now, it takes the same number of votes to repeal legislation as it does to pass legislation. So my proposal is you only need 40% of the people to strike things from statute, but you need a supermajority to add new things to statute.
That makes no sense, because then everything that gets passed is just going to get struck like right after.
No, you're never going to get two-thirds majority to agree to wind up adding horrible stuff.
It makes so much sense, Daryl, it'll never happen.
I know, and maybe I'm just used to dealing with private organizations to where to amend the bylaws, you need a two-thirds majority.
Right.
If I need two-thirds majority to fix this shouldn't have been a comma here, then why can Congress wind up doing stuff with a simple majority?
I think that's so funny. When you bills like last year when I went with you guys to the state house, when there literally would be like hearings on like commas.
Yeah. And the it's one that crazy. Sounds, you know, like somebody is picking at minutia, the therapeutic cannabis legislation, or it's law now, there's one word that need the and needs to be changed to or. And that sounds like you're just, you know, like picking on one little thing of we need to add a comma, but it's so huge because
that can change the complete nature of a law.
The federal judge overseeing the trial of Ross Ulbricht has denied the legal team's attempts to extend the normal 3-year window for post-conviction relief. In essence, the move stifles Ulbricht's new attorney's extraordinary effort to reopen the case with new exculpatory evidence on the Ars Technica says, on the off chance that it exists. We know for a fact that there is exculpatory evidence. However, the judge says, yeah, that's not exculpatory. We're not allowing it, even though you knew about this or we told you about this and you weren't allowed to present it during your defense. Specifically, the fact that at least two of the federal agents working on the case were bribing and extorting.
Right.
You're not allowed to present that as part of the defense. And there have been other things that have come out since. Again, the article from Ars Technica continues on February 5th. In a brief handwritten note, U.S. District Judge Catherine Forrest blocked efforts by Ulbricht's new lawyer, Paul Grant, to go beyond the standard 36-month period allowed in what is called a Rule 33 motion.
Is there anything that can be done to impeach this Judge Forrest? And I appreciate what you've been saying about that case. I just discovered your radio station tuning across the dial.
Nice.
Excellent. And you're listening to 1160 AM to one of our newest affiliates there Chattanooga.
Yeah, I think it's 1150 to be.
Okay. The board op here put 1160, but in either case, we do appreciate you for listening.
And I'm going to go with the guy looking at his radio. I think he knows what channel he's on.
I'm really enjoying everything that you're saying, and I agree with you. And I just wanted to ask kind of a philosophical question about noise pollution, because I read some article years ago about a place in Massachusetts or Vermont, somewhere up in New England. Mm-hmm. It was sort of a leafy liberal town, and they had banned leaf blowers. And I didn't think much about it.
I think that was Massachusetts. I do remember that.
Okay, yeah. And I thought, you know, that's one of the few things I agree with them up there. And because down here, there's a lot of noise pollution, like jacked up trucks. And I mean, I like automobiles and I like trucks and motorcycles, but there's some that are just like extremely loud, and there's no apparently any decibel limit on them down here. And I was just curious if, you know, as a libertarian, mm-hmm. how would you approach that subject? And I just wanted to kind of get some alternative opinions about that.
Well, it depends on which libertarian you ask.
I think one of the things that really separates Dash from the rest of these coins, and best I can tell, completely separates Dash from the rest of the cryptocurrency sphere, is the master node, the marketing dollars that are taken essentially from, you know, so the master nodes, like 10% of the transaction fees go towards growing the Dash network and growing and reaching people.
It's not exactly the transaction fees, it's the block reward.
Okay.
So in our case, we have our incentives are aligned in a different way than in Bitcoin. In Bitcoin, all the block reward goes to the miner. We pay to the miner only 45% of the block reward. Another 45% goes to the masternodes, which are enhanced nodes.
Yep.
And can do many things because they get paid.
And yes, then, we can do many things because we get paid, yes.
exactly, you have one. And then there's a third group, which is the treasury. Mm-hmm. It's 10%, and that's money that gets used to promote or to develop the project, and it gets voted. It's competitive money. We, the Dashcore Group Inc., it's a company that develops that software, but there are other companies or groups that compete with us for that money, and if the network decides we are not doing a good job, they will defund us. It's completely decentralized, and it's a day-to-day competition, much better than ICOs, where whoever is there where they do the ICO, they get all the money, and they don't need to respond to anyone.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.